You know, that song could just as accurately say, "Give me Christ and I die." As the scripture says, when Christ died, we all died. We are included in his death. And then even as Christ was raised from the dead, we are raised up with him. Hallelujah. So, Lord, give us Christ this morning. Give us Christ. Help us to be a people who abide in you, and a people who go where you go and say what you say and pray what you pray, Lord. Read a quick psalm for you this morning, Psalm 100, which is familiar to many of you. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands, all you people. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful in him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And I was thinking about worship this morning and how, you know, in our culture, and I don't want to blame any of us for this, we are born this way. We are human beings with a selfish sin nature when we're born, and so it's natural for us to think of ourselves first. But we've kind of brought this into the church where we think that worship is supposed to be about blessing us. But the scripture indicates worship is what we bring to the Lord. We bless him because he is worthy. And so the scripture also says that we will be instructed by children. And I am instructed when I'm worshiping over there because there's somebody next to me who's laying it all out there in worship. And not holding back. And that's what the Lord wants all of us, would be his children and just come and bless the Father. And bless him. And in blessing him, guess what? You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. So, don't sit back and wait for something. Don't wait to feel something, necessarily. Just come and lay it all out. Bless the Lord. All right. If the Lord has stirred something in your heart to share, I see Kazi's already jumping up here. Come on up and share.
Good morning. So, this is so God, because I was wondering where that verse was. Make a joyful noise. And so it was just perfect. So last Saturday, I have this from a party I went to, because I love making noise. Okay. And I saw it, and I was like, hey, that's like a shofar, you know? And I was thinking, man, you know, everybody can't have a shofar because, you know, maybe they can't find one or it's expensive, you know, to go to Israel and get one. So I had this idea in church last week that, like, man, I should just go to the party store and, like, buy a bunch of these, like, noisemakers for the church, and then, like, they can all have their own shofars. And basically, like it's making a joyful noise unto God. And I'm sorry, Bob, if this is going to mess up things, but I'm sorry, parents, but I just feel like, you know, we should have these things. And it's an act of, like, prophetic worship where, like, if you feel like God's, like, you know, you need a breakthrough or something, just like blow your noisemaker and be like, God, I need help or something, okay? So I'm going to pass these out and you guys can use them however God has you use them. I need a helper. Ashley, can you help me?
Israel and in Jerusalem, and we're at this church for Purim. Purim. And they read the whole story of Esther and Haman and Mordecai. But every time Haman was mentioned, they had these noisemakers and they'd boo, boo. But they read the whole story of Haman and then they had these noisemakers. So, but anyway, I was thinking this morning too about just a joyful noise unto the Lord. So sometimes it's good to have a joyful noise unto the Lord, as long as it's to the Lord. So sometimes we get into this religious mode where we think that worship is always just. But I think the Lord enjoys the joy of His people. So, thanks, Kazi. You never know what's going to happen next.
Okay, we got to practice. Right? So as soon as Kazi's done there, she's going to come up here and lead us in a practice. And it sounds like it might take some practice. Motivations of the heart and all of that. And I just want to call your attention also to this verse up here. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. Daily He bears our burden. Does anybody here have a burden that the Lord cannot bear for them? Is there anything too hard or difficult for the Lord? The Lord daily bears our burden. You know, when life does feel tough, just think about how tough it would be if the Lord really left us alone and did not help us. How terrible that would be. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. Thank you, Lord. That's worthy of a one last tweet, hoot, holler, whatever. Yes. Go ahead. Anyone else have something to share? Okay. One more.
I want to share, the Lord gave me a word this week that I thought might be helpful for everybody. I've been thinking about budgets lately, money budget and our a time budget. We all have a limited resource with our time and our money, and we have to plan out what we're going to do with it. And so we need to budget it, think about where we're going to put it. Well, the Lord gave me a word this week when I was sitting there thinking, and a friend of mine had emailed me and said that I need to take time for myself and do all this. But he just gave me a word that we have emotional energy that is also a limited resource, just like our time and our money is limited. There's only so much of it. And as women, sometimes we just freely, without even thinking about it, just spread around that emotional energy. We might give it to a commercial. We might give it to the neighbor. We'll give it to anything, you know, just freely be given it. And the Lord just spoke to me that emotional energy is limited, and we need to be discerning about how we spend it and bring it to Him. Anxiety and worry is not in the budget. It's not in there at all. And He said to me that it's not that we don't have those issues, but we need to bring it to him and walk away. Our emotional energy is limited, and we need to leave it with him and walk away so that we have enough, so we're not bankrupt and depleted and left wanting. That's not a place he has us in. Also, with emotional energy, we can be rich in it. So God can provide. And also, if you don't have enough, supernaturally, he can make it flow through you. So we need to be discerning, bring it before him, and think about it ahead of time. Where are we going to put that emotional energy?
This is more of an announcement. This is kind of a testimony and announcement. And a few weeks ago, the Lord was, we had the stuff that we're trying to get rid of, you know, in our, we have like almost a semi-load of stuff. Not a semi-load, but just a lot of stuff inside of a semi that we're trying to get rid of. And honk that thing. And Lord is, you know, it's like, I'm kind of wired for money, you know. It's like I see dollar signs and things, you know. And it's like, and the Lord is working that out of me, you know. And showing me a different system of it's called the kingdom money, you know. Thousand hills is the Lord's and all the animals on them. And Lord spoke to me and says, "Have you ever considered a kingdom garage sale?" And I'm like, "You'll have to explain that to me, Lord, because I don't know what that is, you know." And he started showing me. A kingdom garage sale is where we bring everything, we set everything up, and people come, and it's a free gift. It's a free gift. And it's it kind of takes the whole money thing just right out of there. Boop. And it's a sacrifice, you know. And because we got a lot of good stuff, you know. We got furniture, and we got bicycles, and we got some lawnmowers. And it's like, if you take the money away from it, and Lord is saying that we need to be, he was love, and he expects us to be love. You know, God is love, and so now we are love, but not with our love. Our love is, you know, not that great. But his love is almighty, and he wants us to love each other with his love. And so he gave me this like kingdom garage sale thing, you know. It's like, and then he woke me up like several mornings in a row. It's like, just like blowing it up in my mind. And I thought, okay. I felt him say, have it in the Pomita parking lot. I wasn't sure how to go about that, so I went in there yesterday, and there were some farmer's market people there, and they're like, talk to this guy. Oh, we know this guy. Okay. So I called him. He says, actually, the farmer's market people have that for Saturday morning, the whole parking lot, so you need to go back and talk to them. So I went back and talked to them. God was just like, putting these dots together, just amazing. And the farmers market guys that were there, the one was a vice president of the organization, and he says, you know, when you guys are driving out, he says, my wife and I says, let's let them do it, you know, on our time, you know. So we went back there, and he says, you can have the whole place, you can have the rest of the parking lot, and it'll be under our umbrella or whatever, because they got insurance and stuff, you know, for being out there. So like in just a matter of minutes, the Lord just put it all together. So on the 12th of July, we're having a kingdom garage sale. 12th of July. That's right. And so if you guys got stuff that's in the, you know, if you want to donate to the stuff, sorry, you might not get any money for it. But this is like seed money. This is like going into the kingdom of God. And he will prosper that and as he sees fit. And so we're all excited about it. We're actually having some training sessions before, because everybody that's going to be out there ministering, this is going to be like a ministry opportunity, and they're going to have shirts on, blazer and shirts that says Jesus love you on them. And there's going to be opportunity when people come up and say, how much is this shirt? We're going to be able to say, that shirt is free, but it comes with the love of Jesus on it, so that every time you put that shirt on, you're putting on the love of Jesus. So it's pretty cool. So if anybody wants to be, yeah, they got, come and talk to, actually, Steve's got my number. Everybody will have our number, but we're going to put a little flyer someplace, and you can be able to get in contact with us. So.
I've been thinking a lot about end times and the times that we're living in. Things seem to be moving fast, including evil. And there is a verse that, you know, the time of the Lord's return is sooner now than when we first believed. And probably people have always thought, you know, that they were living in end times. And you know, I remember thinking that many years ago, and we thought, oh, there's going to be all these people fleeing from the big cities, and we have to be prepared up here in the north to take care of them. And we had big gardens, and we had chickens, and our son got a milk cow, and it was like, boy, we're all prepared. And now here we are living in Bemidji with a tiny little lot, no room for a garden even. But then I was thinking about, the plagues that came to Israel, the plagues of blood and frogs and gnats and flies and boils and hail, locusts, darkness, death. And then I was thinking about today, fires and hurricanes and tornadoes and droughts and cancer and wood ticks and immorality and lawlessness. But, you know, the real preparation has to be in the heart. And that represents the cross. The Israelites were spared because of the blood on the doorpost. We all know that story. And so how do we apply that blood on the doorpost of our lives? I think the only way is to walk the way Jesus walked. And that we're a laying down of our rights. And a turning the other cheek. Being kind in all situations and loving our neighbors as ourselves. It represents suffering, but it also is pure love to live that way. So I was thinking of this verse, you know, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And we have this large family, and we have 18 grandchildren, and, you know, we're just trusting God for every one of them. And now we're into the great-grandchildren thing. So how are we to live? You know, we know that we're to live, like I said, like Jesus lived, just giving of himself. But also, I thought about these verses in Jeremiah when they were in exile. And it's from Jeremiah 29, 4 through, or 5 through 7. And God said, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give daughters to your husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. And seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. So I believe that we just need to live Jesus, and we all know that, but that's the greatest preparation.
But I got a surprise for all of you. As we were using our horns, we're looking in his word out of 2 Chronicles, verse 20, verse 22. As they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and the Moabites, who were invaded Judah, and they were defeated. We could defeat our enemy with our own voices. By singing, beginning to sing and praise the Lord. It is not up to us. It's the Lord that defeated them. All we have to do is get out there and start worshiping. The more the enemy hates worship, he can't come against his people. Israel, none of us. Compared to one enemy. What can God do by sending verses? And he is going to set them in the heavenly realm. There will be a great army of God's army. We're not in the football field. This is God's army, God's team, and we are going to defeat our enemy. So let's start doing it the way God says it. Thank you.
God is great, and I needed to declare that in front of all of you, because at times I catch myself being that Christian where I go to church on Sunday and then you forget about him for the rest of the week. And lately God has really worked immensely in my life. And I continue to rebel against him to where my heart has hardened towards him and then other people. And I put up walls and I let my pride and my ego get in the way. And what was funny is a couple of days ago I was looking for, I was wanting to look for the story of like Jonah when he got swallowed up by the whale, and instead God took me to the book of Job, where God just said, look at Job, he's just a man after my heart, and said, Satan, test him, go ahead, test him, because Job is, will, you know. And so Satan tested him and took away his family, took away his health, took away his riches, and still Job worshiped God and loved God and said, no matter what, I am a man after God's heart. And it was funny that I was brought to that, because I catch myself very often cursing God for my downfalls. And what I've learned is you have to thank God in the good times and the bad times. And I think I just needed to do that, just to declare that every day it's a battle for me to let God come into my heart and clean it out and fill it up with his love. Because at times I feel I'm not worthy enough. And it's just been a blessing to know that. It was funny because I was driving around this morning and last night I was thinking I just need to go to a church where I just can feel his presence. And so I was driving around and I just started driving here and I got nervous and I didn't want to come in. And it's just cool how God is able to do that. And so in front of all of you, I want to thank God from the bottom of my heart that he's never given up on me. Even though there's been times where I just yell at him and curse at him and say, just take me now, because I can't take this. And so we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Thank you.
He who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it. He will complete the work in you. It's not up to you. Put your faith in him. He will complete it. Lord, I just want to pray for Counselor. I just want to pray that your spirit of encouragement would come into Concha. Be strong, Concha, and of good courage. For I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, says the Lord. You are my child. I have bought you with a price. I will not cast you away. You are mine, says the Lord. When you walk through the fire, I'll be there. When you walk through the water, I'll be there. You won't be burned. You won't drown. I'm with you all the days of your life. I will complete the work that I began in you. Trust me. Trust me. I am not angry with you. And I am not against you. I'm for you. You are my daughter. You're precious. You're precious. Receive that, Concha, from the Lord.
Say something real quick. The Bible never says all who are worthy come. It says all may come. Unworthy. We say, I don't feel worthy, but you may come. You know, the Father embraced the prodigal when he was still a long ways out. That's how much he loves us. So.